code's Kill Kittens and customer service is an oxymoron. One podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
It's doing the newsman.
Yep.
Tap.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Unpodcast. I am Scott Stratton. She's Allison Stratton. Together, we got to change that intro.
We're Scott and Allison Stratton?
Yeah.
Where are you going with that?
No. I don't really know ever where I'm going with something. I just keep going until it ends.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm done.
No, you got to keep going. What do we have today on the podcast, Mr. Stratton?
What? Okay. Today is mostly music and song, for I will sing this episode to you all. I will serenade. That's how I met Allison. I was serenading her.
That under is not her window true.
With a boombox. Just say anything.
I love that movie.
I've never seen it. I haven't seen many of Allison's classics, which is weird. I thought Saw was one of them. It was not one of her classic rom-coms.
I spent 2 hours staring at a potted plant.
We watched Saw. She did not watch it, but we watched it.
Because he wouldn't stop bothering me about it. So I'm just like, I'm just going to get it over with. And I'm like, I'll watch it. I never looked at the TV screen once.
It was early in our relationship.
I looked at a potted plant until he was done.
The things you do, eh? I had no idea she wasn't watching.
Well, I don't need that kind of
crap. I'm like, watch, this is where face explodes.
I don't need that kind of crap in my brain.
Then why'd you watch it?
Because you wouldn't stop bothering me about it.
Now you know why it's called Saw. Or maybe you don't.
Yeah. We can watch it now.
I saw it? Is that why? I don't want to see it again?
Let's play a game.
All right. Just read your stories.
All right. Here we go. This is from Music Business Worldwide. From Prestige Worldwide. All right. Title. Accused of deliberately faking Kanye West and Beyonce streaming numbers. Oof. What a story this is, the article says. You might recall that in the deep dark recesses of music streaming history, i.e. 2 years ago, Jay-Z owned Tidal left many in the music business scratching their heads. In March 2016, the firm claimed that Kanye West's The Life of Pablo, a six-week exclusive on its platform, had been streamed 250 million times in just 10 days. What? At the same time, Tidal claimed that its platform had surpassed 3 million subscribers. You can do the math right now. These numbers meant that, on average, every single Tidal subscriber, we'll do the math right now for you, would have to be playing the Kanye album over 8 times a day. Similar suspicions were triggered by the success of Beyonce's record-breaking Lemonade a couple months later. Tidal claimed that Lemonade was streamed 306 million times on its platform in the first 15 days post-release. Stats like this led Norwegian newspaper Dagens... There's two letters in there that are not English. It's going to go with Dagens. To investigate in January 2017 and uncover documents, which it said suggested that Tidal had been deliberately inflating its subscriber numbers. This report was lent credence by data from trusted music industry research firm Midia in the same month, which estimated the Tidal's subscriber base actually only included 1 million people worldwide. Now, DN has run an update following more than a year of journalistic digging, and it's an absolute jaw-dropper. Its central accusation, Beyonce and Kanye West's listener numbers on Tidal have been manipulated to the tune of several hundred million false plays, which has generated massive royalty payouts at the expense of other artists. The newspaper's investigation was ignited by its receipt of an illicit hard drive, which it says contains billions of rows of internal Tidal data, times and song titles, user IDs, and country codes. The veracity of this data on this hard drive has been strongly challenged by Tidal, but according to DN, the numbers match exactly with information received by record labels during the dates in question. Says DN, in the Life of Pablo month, February 2016, Tidal customers supposedly listened to a total of 758,745,952 songs, according to the numbers on the hard drive. In the record company's payment reports, the total is also 758,745,952. Suffice to say, the information contained on the drive has landed Tidal in seriously hot water. To set the scene, DN interviews a series of Tidal subscribers, presenting them with logs of their individual play counts of both Beyonce's Lemonade and Kanye West's Life of Pablo. One of these subscribers, Copenhagen-based composer Halfdan Nielsen, is informed he supposedly listened to songs from Lemonade on more than 50 occasions. So they're actually going direct to these guys. He denies it, calling the figures nonsense. Dan also tracks down a law student in Washington, D.C., Tiara Fatia, who, according to the data, played tracks from Beyonce's Lemonade 180 times within 24 hours. And she's perplexed and says, no, that cannot be right. Another title subscriber, music critic Gear Rockvag, supposedly played tracks from Kanye's Life Pile 96 times in a single day with 54 plays in the middle of the night. And he said that was physically impossible. The list goes on. So it goes down all this thing and it's like, yeah, it's way off. So DN says it gained access to record company royalty payments, which reveal that Tidal paid Sony in excess of $4 million across April and May of this Lemonade, accounted for $2.5 million of those royalty payments. And the Life of Pablo total was paid to Universal was 3.2 million euros.
Okay, but wait, so Tidal is paying more money?
So royalty payments are based on number of streams and a share.
But what
of
they're
payments.
Saying is that Tidal faked the numbers to seem more popular than they were. Mm-hmm. And they paid for that mm-hmm. because the more popular they were, the more money they paid.
Yeah, so what happens is with the rights agreements with any of these streaming services, they have a agreement with us every month or every quarter to pay record labels based on the popularity of the songs and the artists. So in theory, you don't get paid a fraction of a cent for a stream. There's a pot of money they've agreed to pay monthly for the rights to these songs. And there's one pot that'll go out there and it says, okay, so if we have $100 million to pay in royalties for the month, here's all the streams. Here's the percentage of royalties everybody gets. So every month you get a percentage of the payment, lump sum payment to the labels. So
the
since
artist
life of,
does.
Right. So the label does, and the artist gets a portion of that.
Okay.
So what it says is, well, Life of Pablo was like half the streams that month and the entire thing of Tidal. So Universal, you get half that money.
And are they lying both about the total number of streams?
Allegedly.
Or are they just taking streams away from other artists
total
and giving
streams,
them to Kanye?
Total streams, total subscriber accounts.
And
streams of the song itself.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's bananas. It is, if true, incredible fraud. Incredible fraud where you're like, well, they buff up streams. Whatever.
They did it to those two people because of a reason. So it's that also the people that they did it for.
Yeah. And what happens if you have a share or a percentage of the label as well, which some of the investors in Tidal also have?
Yeah.
This is like international fraud. This is wire fraud.
This is crazy.
Real big, not just inflating, going and pressing repeat and going to sleep on a song. Which is a good technique.
So you said this is a music episode. Yeah. How come I have the only non-music article?
What is it?
It's about Facebook.
Yeah. What do you listen to on Facebook?
Nothing.
Music.
Why did you give me the only non-music?
I shared a music video yesterday on Facebook.
Look, you said that we were talking about music this week.
Yeah, I got music right here. Music.
So,
music.
And last week you said we were talking about food and then you gave me a cooking basically thing about.
What do you cook?
But this isn't about music. This is about that more people are using Facebook after the Cambridge Analytica scandal. It's like the most boring, unrelated to music article that you possibly could have given me. Did you snot on the microphone?
Right on the microphone.
Should I even read this article? Like, it's completely unrelated to what we're talking about.
No, we can just simply say that the scandal did not actually do anything.
You just want to say that?
Yep.
Not talk about it?
No, because we predicted it.
And it's not related to music?
No.
And I'm just going to take one of my articles I'm supposed to read and just crumple it up.
Yep.
Well, why am I even here?
Because I like to look at you.
I'm going to read this one then.
You're pretty.
I'm jumping ahead of you. Oof. I'm reading this one. Spotify's hateful conduct policy drags the music industry into me. Oh, why do... And I get this. This is serious.
Yeah. Mine's
is your
serious too.
Article serious?
Kind of.
Is your article serious?
Not as serious as this one. You want to trade?
No. Spotify's hateful conduct policy drags the music industry into the Me Too movement. NPR. I should have known. I should have seen the NPR and been like, you're reading that one. Last week, Spotify announced it was implementing a new policy in which it would stop promoting hate content and artists who engage in hateful conduct within its very powerful playlists and through its equally powerful suggestion algorithm. In the week since, the move has been greeted with celebration, derision, and skepticism. asked for a response this morning, a Spotify spokesperson wrote that the company was not in a place where we could comment right now. Not sure what that place is. Spotify is leveraging the considerable power it has cultivated in becoming the foremost enabler of music streaming. That's a funny title, enabler of music streaming. And a traffic cop to many of the stakeholders, songwriters, record labels, publishers, promoters, managers, engineers dotting the road to define and impose a moral perspective. But the effect the policy will have on artists isn't theoretical. Spotify playlists and Spotify charts and Spotify plays, access to which Spotify is restricting through the new policy, have become the number one tool that labels and artists and managers are using in order to break artists and measure success. So what it sounds like is that they've done something really good and our artists don't like it because some of them aren't.
Well, so the reason
are offensive and then they don't get played?
I find the article interesting. It's not that their music is offensive necessarily, but that they have done something offensive.
Yeah.
Or problem, and they remove their music from the service.
I like that.
So how far does it go? Should streaming platforms, should iTunes, should Spotify, Tidal, should any of these places, Netflix, should they be being moral police for content that people want to watch?
Yes, I think they should be.
And therefore, do we now remove all movies from iTunes that are from anybody who's been accused of a crime? And therefore, what level of crime?
Well, we decide levels of crime and we decide what punishments are for levels of crime all the time. That's how our justice system is set up. Why shouldn't this be the same?
But these are the two artists' name have not been convicted of a crime.
Who? R. Kelly?
Right.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. So this is the discussion I'm wanting to
have. Except
the
argument can't be, well, we're not going to police it because that's what we do. We police things.
Right.
That's exactly what we do. It's not all the laws and the punishments and the things that we've set in place. We did that. We wrote those laws and we decided what was acceptable and what wasn't. And why shouldn't they be punished and not be able to do this?
But it's not laws. I'm not talking about laws here. We're talking about moral police. So we're talking about
the law is moral police.
No, but the law, the actual criminal law or civil law versus...
is based on morals.
But is not, but a lawsuit, something has been, you've been jailed guilty or not guilty, you've been charged with a crime.
Yeah.
Versus something that is, depending, it might not even be a crime, depending on it. And so should these platforms be saying, well, this person went off on a tirade about something, he was never charged about it. But, you know...
I'm not sure if you're never charged, but I think if you've been charged and found guilty of doing something, and somebody makes that decision, just like we make that decision about things all the time, that why shouldn't there be this kind of a,
right.
It should be just part of the punishment.
And this, what happened with this, why it was brought out there was they removed music from it. The people had not been charged or convicted of a crime.
Yeah.
But they had said, and they have also gone back on this now, right?
Yeah.
They've gone back and their music's back on.
Yeah.
So Spotify backed away from this and reinstated their music after the outcry about it. And here's the thing. So it's like, does iTunes remove every movie made by the Weinstein Company? Do they remove every Morgan Freeman film, every Kevin Spacey film? Do they remove Woody Allen films? Do they remove...
I think there can be different rules between what going forward and retroactive punishment. And I think that we might decide that they should be removed.
Right.
And maybe we should. Like, and maybe it's different in terms of Weinstein. You can say, like, he's not an actor, but you could say that he's not allowed to make money off of the films that he made. They will, if he gets convicted of whatever third degree rape and all these horrible things that he did, or maybe did, I don't know, then he won't be able to continue making money. He'll go to prison. And so we've decided as a society, he's not allowed to continue making money. It's not like he keeps making money.
Oh, he will.
Well, but what I'm saying is that if maybe he shouldn't,
right.
Maybe he shouldn't be allowed to. We take people's rights away for committing crimes. That's what the criminal system is.
Right.
So I don't understand why this would be so far-fetched that we wouldn't.
Right. And that's the question I was having.
And it should be up to Spotify what they decide to do. It's their...
Right. That's what it comes down to.
It's their house, right? They get to decide what gets played and what doesn't get played.
Right. And...
they're not going to have very many musicians left, but that's a whole other conversation.
But that's what it partially comes down to, right? So it's just where's, do we pick the line? Or as customers, do we then say, look, if you keep these people's content, then we don't want to be your customer. Is that really the way we have to do it, too?
Well, like that guy in Vegas, the restaurant guy.
Yeah.
Like, if you own Batali. The hotel, do you shut down all of his restaurants?
The answer usually is yes. Yeah.
So then why is this any different? Right. If you get charged with whatever, then there can be a punishment that's related to your work. Music shouldn't be outside that just because.
Did you see they just shut them down, eh? Venetian and Palazzo and yeah. the Sands shut down Batali's restaurants, even yeah. though they
the
restaurant company removed Batali from the company.
And just like music, it doesn't change the food that he made. And it is whatever his behavior is has absolutely nothing to do with what the food is you're eating in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. But we decide as a society all the time what we're going to take and what we're not going to take. And we make decisions.
This is my problem with Shopify, where they just said simply, we don't step into this stuff if it's legal in their country. They haven't been convicted. That's just the easy way out.
Yeah.
The problem is once you start saying, well, we will remove them, then there's like, okay, what about this? What about this? And that's a lot of time and you need to do that. Yeah. What about that? What do we take something who's been charged with something? It's just, or do you put it on hold until the trial comes out? The problem is they don't want to deal with this because they're dealing with 20 million musicians.
And then you cannot deal with it. But right. in the end, it's up for them to decide what they want to do. But it isn't, you can't say, well, then we police everyone. Because we do. We do police everyone.
Yeah.
We make rules all the time.
I agree. All right. And one other thing from, again, music business worldwide. Because
it's going to be about a singing cat or something.
Singing while cooking in the dishwasher. Singing in the dishwasher. No, why Billboard's new chart changes will please some but aggravate others. This is stuff that's always been fascinating to me. So the in 2012, Harry Rodriguez, an underground DJ and producer who goes by the name Bauer, released a single via Jeffries, an imprint of Mad Descent, a dance label founded by ubiquitous DJ and producer Diplo. For nearly a year, the song toiled in near anonymity. But in 2013, something happened. A meme swept the United States as people uploaded videos themselves dancing to the song. In the matter of a week, a viral hit was born. The Harlem Shake was an internet sensation. In February 2013, Harlem Shake reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. Its sudden popularity caused Billboard to quickly add YouTube streams to its chart methodology. Suddenly, Bauer had one of those rare songs that transcends age, ethnicity, class, and geography. Billboard's chart was able to capture the swell of interest. The notion that a song has to sell in order to be a hit feels a little two or three years ago, Billboard's then editorial director told the New York Times that year. The music business today, much to its credit, has started to learn there's a lot of different ways a song can be a hit, and a lot of different ways that the business can benefit from it being a hit. Billboard decided that a stream on YouTube should be given the same weight on the Hot 100 as a stream on Spotify, Rhapsody, or other audio streaming services. In doing so, recognize YouTube and social media help make hits. When the Harlem Shake hit number one in the U.S., just 309,000 of its 103 million first-week streams came from audio services like Spotify. The song was also helped by 262,000 downloads, driven by YouTube viewing, no doubt, but it got little help from a radio audience of just 2 million. To exclude video streams from the Hot 100 would have ignored the public's newfound ability to turn a song into a pop culture phenomenon almost overnight. 5 years later, Billboard has decided that a YouTube stream is no longer worth the same as a Spotify stream. Starting in July, Billboard's new weighting system for the Hot 100 will create a hierarchy that discriminates paid services from ad-supported services and audio from video. The Harlem Shake might not have reached number one if it released in 2018, so the new scheme will work on a points basis. Streams from on-demand audio services, Spotify and Apple Music, etc., are given 1 point. On-demand video services like YouTube and Vivo, which is Vivo's music service, others receive 0.67 points apiece, so two-thirds of a point. Finally, program streams by internet radio services, non-interactive and limited functionality, meaning you can't choose a song or listen to an entire album from start to finish, like Pandora or Slacker, are given a half point each. Well, how will this change layout? It took 2017 U.S. year-end numbers from BuzzAngle, estimated total number of streams, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so in the new system...
Kind of neat, right?
Instead
they
of a,
should.
Yeah, I just think what I found interesting about it, I won't go on anymore, but... you know, is a listen a listen a listen? Is a stream a stream a stream? Is a view a view a view, right? And they're all contextually not the same.
Well, it sounds like they're weighting it. So they're saying, like, no, it's not exactly the same, but it's still important.
Right.
And it's still, it should be, if everybody's talking about something,
right,
and it's a song, then it should count towards the way we judge right. its popularity.
Right. And, back in the old days, it was the Hot 100 also wasn't dictated on necessarily on... always on sales, where it was spins.
Yeah.
On a radio station. Those spins were dictated by the programming manager, who was dictated by, you know, maybe a few dollars here and there. That would get it going. So we had a great conversation about this at breakfast, a few weeks ago? About,
yeah, we did.
We need to...
We have great conversations over breakfast.
We do, right?
We could call this podcast Conversations Over Breakfast.
A music business one, right? Yeah. We had the couple of the youngins in on the conversation.
I like what they're doing, because I think they're recognizing that things evolve and change, but they're also not like saying, okay, then the number one hit song should be whatever got the most views on YouTube either. They're kind of like weighing it out, right? Because it's not always the same.
And that's where it's also where it comes to like things like SoundScan, right? Where it's like when your album goes platinum or gold or diamond or, you know, triple platinum. You know, those terms that we always hear, you're like, oh, you're a platinum selling artist. You're just like, yeah, that's huge. But now since sales of albums, I'm not even sure, are remotely indicative of what the popularity of something sometimes is, where it could be streams. But one stream is not the same as one sale.
No.
Right? Nor does one sale of an album count one song being listened to, or that I'm listening to the whole album. So, you know, and is one stream, but the whole song, worth more than a stream of 20 seconds? But that's not fair, because if I bought a CD, it doesn't mean I listened to it at all, potentially. Like, it's just not guaranteed X number of listens. And it's an interesting world right now. And then on top of this, why doesn't the book industry have this? And, you know, we should have something like that, but we don't, because we realize Billboard, I think it's Billboard.
I don't think we want people to have to read things and do a test to prove that they...
No, what I'm saying is we don't have levels.
Yeah.
Like book sales, we don't have platinum, gold, silver. No. And I found out Clint Greenleaf told me, because he used to have a publishing company before Home Plate Peanut Butter, which we wrote about in one of our fantastic books, is that... Billboard, I think it's Billboard, and I could confirm I'm wrong, Clint, is that Billboard owns the trademark to platinum selling, gold selling, silver selling, because they wanted, Clint wanted to come out with something like this years ago, and they did the research.
Yeah,
and the research is no.
No, you cannot.
They have the right to metal sounding award levels.
That's awesome.
Because in books, because everybody claims to be a best-selling author.
Yeah.
Even though the guy that actually took a picture of his foot and uploaded it to Amazon, it was a best-selling book in his category to prove a point.
Book photos of
If you had platinum-selling author by saying, that means I sold, you know, you saw platinum, you know that's a million books.
Yeah.
Okay, it makes sense now. So, because you don't hear a lot of best-selling artists when it comes to music, right? It's platinum yelling or this or... Now it's shifted though, so it's. I like the way they're doing it.
I didn't know that was a trademark. That's cool that they're doing it.
It's an interesting thing where I think I would launch that, but then you can't do it.
Smart that they did that.
Yeah, very smart. Those smart people, Billboard. Nobody reads a magazine now, but damn, they own some good trademarks.
That, do you have a made-up word this week, or is this the week we don't have one?
Got nothing. Didn't have you one last
nothing?
Week either. Yeah, no.
Well, that's true. We didn't have one last week, did we?
This week is unmarketing.
We just unpodcast last time.
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of them. Book series of made-up
We need some more questions too. I think we should open it up. Maybe we should do another like one where we go post live on Facebook or something.
Yeah, and put on a marketing and ask if people want questions. Yeah. So if you guys have any questions, we can make it the question of the week. If you have a made-up word, we can use the made-up word of the week. And if we use your question or your word, we will send you a copy of any of our books or somebody else's book, but we won't do that because it's weird. Just pick one of ours.
And if you want Allison to get a decent story to read on the show, then you know, let us know.
Our producer will be back next time, so don't worry. Because apparently I can't do that. At all. All right, y'all. Have a good start of the summer. If you're listening to this in the fall sometimes, catch up. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.